When a person struggles with temptation or tendencies, my friend, or even failures, there is an enormous urge in the mind to condemn ourselves. There is an enormous tendency to want to crush our spirit. That will lead only to more and more temptation and stronger tendencies. We have to have something in the mind that can counter that. And it's right here in this verse and, of course, the whole book of Romans. Let's look at it, my friend Colin Cook here, and how it happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the good news about our Heavenly Father and His work in Jesus Christ, and the way the Spirit is disseminating that work by faith to us all. Now, my friends, we train our faith in this broadcast. We don't simply get inspired, but we train our faith. And here is a verse that is going to train your faith enormously as you embrace it. We talked about it last time, and we're going to talk about it further now. Romans 4, verse 5. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Now remember that justifies means to declare innocent, to announce not guilty, innocent. Well, of course, you normally declare not guilty and innocent the people who are innocent. If you are in a court of law and if you are arraigned, you will be found not guilty if you're not guilty. But here is an astounding thing. God declares innocent the wicked, as it says in the King James Version, and here in the New King James Version and other translations, God declares innocent the ungodly. Now, this is enormously difficult for the mind to take, my friend, because if you have failed, if you have sinned, if you have done wrong, if you are struggling with an addiction, then you will find it enormously shameful. It has a shaming effect upon us. We do not feel true persons, true men. We just feel we can't come up to the level of quality that a human being should have. And we feel guilt, and we feel the judgment of God. Now, when that happens, my friend, if you cannot counter it, it will make things worse. This is why there are so many addicted people among Christians, because they go to church, but they do not really hear the gospel. They go to church and hear what the Christian is required to do. They go to church and are urged to do this and that and to come up higher and to be better and to be more responsible and more pure. And at the same time, they do not hear a regular infusion of the good news. If that is the case, then the urges to moral life will simply pull you down, because there is no grace attached, only your discipline and your exercise of so-called faith. But faith in what? In your own ability to overcome, not in the message of Christ who has atoned for our sins so that there is no more condemnation, which thereby gives us more courage to go forward. So you see, you have to have something to counter the accusations of your own mind. Otherwise, you will be brought down. And I'll tell you more. You will not only be brought down by your own mind, my friend, but by the memory in your mind of your childhood pains and wounds. If you have had physically abusive parents, or sexually abusive parents, or verbally abusive parents, if you have heard messages like this, you're no good, you're stupid, why can't you do things right, I can never trust you, all of these messages compounding back into your brain as an adult, and then you add what you think is God's judgment upon it, on top of that, and you are brought down. Until, my friend, you know the good news, which is that our Heavenly Father justifies, declares innocent the ungodly. As I said last time, If God had said, I'll justify you if you repent or surrender, then you would say, that's a good deal, okay, Lord. But after a week of repenting and surrendering, you would have to ask yourself, have I repented and have I surrendered enough? But God doesn't say he will justify the repentant and the surrendered. He says he will justify the... what? Yes, you got it. The ungodly. So you don't have to ask yourself, after a week of being ungodly, am I ungodly enough, do you? Yes, Colin, you say, but it says he will justify the ungodly who believe. And I don't know as my faith is strong enough. Look, listen to me. You never ask yourself, is my faith strong enough? Because the answer to that will always be no. But what you do is to ask yourself, is Jesus strong enough in whom I have faith? And the answer to that is always yes. Now, strong enough for what? Not strong enough necessarily to help you to overcome. It's not about you overcoming. Faith is about Christ being your righteousness. And so you ask, not is my faith strong enough, but is Christ strong enough, who is my righteousness, to account me righteous when I am not, to account me reconciled when I feel detached and distant and abandoned, to account me resurrected when I feel dead, to account me righteous when I feel a sinner. Yes, all of that. I found years ago, my friend, that this verse, and not just this verse, of course, this is a summary in a way of the whole of the book of Romans, to be enormously electrifying. Previously, I couldn't believe it, of course. I was a perfectionist, and a perfectionist looks at this verse and cannot comprehend it. He cannot understand it. In fact, what he will do is pass over it as if it were inconsequential, because he simply is in a state of denial about it. A perfectionist says, how can God declare innocent the people who are guilty unless they first become innocent? You see, they are looking at what they think is God's view, which is all he is seeing is you. But the whole message that Paul is introducing here is that the law cannot make anyone righteous, and that Jesus Christ has come in the place of all men, representing all men, substituting for all men, and he has taken the judgment upon himself, and in his resurrection he took our vindication upon himself, or rather his vindication became ours. He went to the cross as if he were a sinner, as if he were a criminal. But his resurrection vindicated him, proving that he was not a sinner and not a criminal. That vindication is counted as yours. That's the whole point of the gospel. I know you say, well, Colin, you're talking the obvious. We all know this. Heck no, you don't. Because when the chips are down, and when the struggles are upon you, and when you are failing and being defeated, and when the church sees your failure, it does not act, and you do not act, on this kind of verse. This verse is absolutely, and the message of this verse, I mean, is absolutely revolutionary to our mind. Here you are, after a day or a week of defeat, you feel trashed, you feel useless, you feel no good, you feel unworthy of Christ, you feel you can't darken a church door anymore. And you say, but God declares innocent the ungodly. God declares innocent the wicked. I am wicked. I am ungodly. He declares me innocent, as I trust in Jesus, who has taken my judgment and whose righteousness is counted as mine. Now, as you do this, as you assert this in your mind, you will first be afraid. You will feel that you are being sacrilegious, blasphemous. You will feel that you are cheapening grace, or cheapening, or rather, diminishing the seriousness of sin. But then you will insist, and sometimes you will have to thrust your fist in the air to insist, Lord God, I thank you that I am counted as righteous, even though I am an ungodly man. And as you do that, you will experience the fight of faith against your doubts. And as you do that, you will experience a revivifying presence in your spirit. You will find yourself being energized. You will find yourself being strengthened. You will find your depression lifting. You will find yourself coming to some more hope where previously there was despair. My dear friend, that state of mind brought on by faith will give you courage to bounce back, to get up again, to go forward in faith. You see, and you have to understand, surely you do by now, that addiction is an escape from your own mind. Your mind which has reinforced all the negatives in life, your mind which recriminates you, which pounds sin and guilt into your head as saying you are a sinner and you're unworthy. The tragedy is that so many people think that that is the message of the Holy Spirit. And they are thinking, oh, the Holy Spirit is rebuking me. The Holy Spirit is telling me what a terrible sinner I am. Look, that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter who keeps assuring you and giving you courage to look up and lift up. Then who is that in your mind? It's not the Holy Spirit, it's the devil. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you're possessed or anything like that. I'm simply saying that we often repeat the ideas of the devil, because the devil wants to bring your courage down. He wants you to believe that you're trash, you're not worth anything, and God shouldn't bother with you. You assert Christ in the presence of that darkness, that you are counted as righteous even though you are wicked and a sinner, and your courage will rise, and you will see how precious Jesus is to you. I'm really looking forward to meeting you, my friend, at the seminar on Saturday, the 30th of April, at La Quinta Inn in Lakewood. We're going to be exploring how we grow. You know, many people are confused about their conversion. Some people grow after conversion, and some people, yes, paradoxically, some people stop growing. The reason for that is perhaps they've misunderstood the work of Christ, or they've misunderstood how faith takes place, and they're afraid of sinning, so they don't take any chances. There are many, many grown-up children, grown-up Christians that are really children. So how do we start the growth process again? Well, come to this seminar and learn about the forces of change that shape your life. Learn about the difference between conscious and unconscious growth. Learn about what developmental phases are. We all have to go through developmental phases in our life, the first decade, second and third and fourth. But if we miss out on a developmental stage, my friend, what happens is that it starts breaking into an odd period of our lives, and we don't know what the heck is happening until we learn about developmental phases. So I hope you'll join me at this seminar on Saturday, the 30th of April, starting at 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. Come at 10 to 9, 5 to 9, so you can get your orange juice and coffee and a seat, and there will be a break for lunch. Now, La Quinta Inn is at 7190 West Hampden Avenue. Is it south? Well, you know where it is, between Lakewood and between Wadsworth, rather, and Sheridan. Admission is by donation. Recommended $70 to $110 if you can afford it, my friends. It helps the budget, but if you can't, bring whatever you can. I look forward to seeing you then, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.